Welcome to the Life Leadership Podcast with myself, Leela Singh, all things coaching, career, and personal branding. This podcast is for ambitious career professionals like you, wanting to create a life of choice and freedom, to be, do, and have more through overcoming limitations, to develop new perspectives and insights, and to redefine your success, be that in work, health, relationships, and so much more. Hi there, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Live with Leela. My name is Leela Singh, and I'm an executive life and leadership coach. And I work with career professionals, typically in the technology industry, who are looking to overcome their limitations so that they can uncover their real potential, propel themselves forward, create new possibilities, both in their life and in their career, while showing up as the best version of themselves, what I call life leadership. So, what's the topic of today? We're talking over these few weeks about the various facets that I believe are critical to building a powerful personal brand. And when I talk about personal branding, I'm referring to your in-person brand, the way that you show up in the world. And I believe that there are five key areas that are important for us to develop, to hone, to improve upon and to build upon so that we can build that powerful personal brand. Why is that important? Because we want to be able to be top of mind for those that matter, for those decision makers, those hiring managers, and remembered for the right reasons. And thinking about what people say about you when you're not in the room, it's your reputation precedes you. So you want to build a great reputation that has people wanting to gravitate towards you, wanting to hire you, work with you, have you in their teams, and so forth. So today we're looking at the second part of personal branding. Last week we talked about the first one, which is clarity. So getting clarity on who you are, what you stand for, what you want to be known for, both personally and professionally. So today we're looking at part two. And the second part of the branding that I believe is a key facet of building your brand is your attitude. In other words, your mindset, the lens in which you view the world through. And when we talk about mindset, there's so many levels to this that we can explore. So I've honed it down today to some key areas to focus on that may assist you in taking some value away from this session today and help you to maybe create shifts and changes in your life in terms of what you are wanting to create. So the topic is attitude is a choice. What choice are you making? And what I mean by this is, how are you choosing to show up in the world? And this comes from your mindset. And I hear people very often talking about, oh, well, I've got a really positive mindset. But the minute you start to drill down on that, actually, that's not true. A positive mindset, what does that really mean? And I'm not here to debate that today and discuss it. What I'm here to do is to give you some steps that you can action, you can take away and work through for yourself to start to identify your attitude, the way that you show up in the world, your mindset, and the way that you look at the world, the lens that you look at it through. And actually, is that serving you? Is that helping you to move forward and progress? Or is it holding you back? Is it hindering you? Is it setting limitations upon you? And I'm going to walk through some steps for that in a moment. And you might be thinking, well, why is this even important? And the reason it's important is because, as Tony Robbins actually puts this really well, and he says that success equals 80% psychology and 20% strategy. And I think that's a great example of this, of the importance of creating an optimum mindset or winning mindset. Why? Because the majority of our outcomes, our experiences, come from what's occurring in here, not about the strategy and the doing. And I think the mistake that many people make, and I see this a lot, is they may go off and do all the strategy and implementation and so forth and still not get the results that they want, whether this is in a project they're working on, maybe it's their working on the next step to their career. So they head off and they complete their, they update their CV, their LinkedIn, and they start applying for jobs. They even maybe secure some interviews, and yet they're still not securing the role that they want. And a lot of this comes from what's going on in here. And this happens in every area of life, even for business owners, where they can go and implement everything. But if they're coming from a place of an attitude, let's say, that doesn't serve them, then actually that's going to have the biggest impact on their results, not the doing. And it's the same for you. So whether you are in your career and looking to progress, or maybe you're a business owner, it's the same philosophy around mindset. Mindset stands over and above everything else in terms of enabling you to achieve the results that you want and to create the life that you want. So when we talk about psychology, again, it comes back to mindset. And I just think attitude is maybe another way of looking at that, because talking about positive mindset isn't always helpful. It's not really clear. People think they can look in the mirror and say some affirmations and they've got a positive mindset. Actually, working to create a really powerful mindset, it becomes work that you do from within. And it's about the intention or the inner stance that you come from in the way that you show up in the world, in all that you do. The intention that you come from, the place that you're coming from, in the way that you show up, the actions that you take, the behaviors, and the results that you have, all come from your inner stance, from the place that you're coming from with anything. So this is in relation to your behavior, to your decision making, and to the interactions that you have with yourself and with others. So the question is, where are you coming from when it comes to your behaviors, your decision making? These are just examples. And also your interaction with yourself and with other people. So are you coming from a place of joy, of gratitude, of compassion, of happiness and contentment? Or are you coming from a place of misery, despair, frustration, perhaps at what you don't have or what's not working, dissatisfaction, negativity, resentment, anger, and the list goes on? So slow down and just check in with yourself. How are you showing up? What's going on internally in the way that you're feeling, you're behaving, the thoughts that you're having? Where are you coming from in everything that you do? Because attitude and the place that you're coming from is a choice. And that choice will determine the experiences that you have, the results that you have, and your day-to-day reality. So my question to you is, are you dissatisfied with where you are right now in any particular area of your life? This could be in your career, with your health, your finances, your relationships, any area. Is there one area or more where you're not fully satisfied and fulfilled right now, that's not working for you? And that could be one area, it could be more than one area of your life. So give that some thought. Which areas of your life aren't kind of working the way you would like them right now? And now I want you to consider, okay, what can I do differently to improve on that situation or to make it work better for me? And what I'd like to share with you are some things for you to consider. Because here's the thing, if attitude is a choice, then the question becomes, what choice are you making with the attitude that you show up with, the mindset, the inner stance, whatever you want to call it? What can you do differently? What do you want to be considering? And I'll go through some points with you now. These are some steps for you to consider. And you might want to make notes on this and go away, reflect on it, give it some thought. This isn't a simple, straightforward, here's a question, there's the answer, because these are things that you probably will want to reflect on, to mull over, to really dig deep internally, to think about, okay, how am I showing? What is it I'm doing? What can I do differently? How has that worked for me in the past? So the first thing is self-awareness. And self-awareness is something I talk about all the time, whether it's on these lives, my podcast interviews, with my clients that I work with, because Self-awareness is number one, it's key. And what do I mean by this? It's about having a level of awareness of yourself. Because typically we tend to focus on everything outside of us. We focus on other people and the way they behave and what they say and do. And we forget to look at ourselves. We forget to look at what are we doing in any given moment to maybe create a situation that's occurring or influence that situation. How are we behaving? What are our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our actions, behaviors, all of these things? It's starting to slow down and become aware of what we do. And then ask yourself, well, actually, is that helping me? Is it hindering me? Is that going to move me forward or is that going to hold me back? So creating a level of self-awareness, and by the way, this is not an overnight thing. Self-awareness is about an ongoing process of checking in with yourself, of reflection, of understanding what you're doing, why you're doing it. And is it, again, is it helping you or is it maybe hindering you from getting what you want, from creating the life that you want? And a way to this is to start to really focusing on reflecting on day-to-day situations, interactions, feelings that come up for you, and asking yourself, what was I thinking at that point in time? And was the thought that I was having perhaps creating a perspective of something? Remember, we talk about the lens that we look at the world through. So are we creating a perspective of something that actually isn't really true? Is it a story? For example, what I want to do here is, if you sit with this for a moment, self-awareness is your number one. The remaining points that I'm going to share with you today are all examples of where self-awareness will kick in. So you could almost say that self-awareness is the overarching point here. This is the one thing that will kind of encompass everything else that I'm going to share with you now. So having self-awareness, and why is this important also, is because a lot of people live from a place of unconsciousness. They're just kind of drifting through life with little or no self-awareness, and anything that's not working is because of everything outside and external of them, things that are outside of their control. And by the way, why is that? Because it's easy to do. It's easy to blame things that are outside of your control. So you don't have to take action. You don't need to create change, but you want everything else around you to change. So whether that is, for example, the weather, the economy, the government, the things that are occurring in the world, many of which are outside of our control. And it could be your employer, your boss, your team, a colleague. And then we start to blame. Perhaps it's a partner, a child, a parent, a friend. And we feel all of that is impeding on you and your life and maybe creating something that you're not happy with. Slow down to that and actually check in with yourself and look at, this is where we build self-awareness and start thinking, well, okay, what am I doing here? What can I do differently to create a different outcome? So the next thing I want you to consider is your thoughts, because our thoughts show up. We have little control of the thoughts that come up in our mind day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute, because those thoughts will pop up. They're like you know, those kids' bubble machines where you blow bubbles, and if you imagine that each of those bubbles is a thought, and some of them just pop very quickly, some of them last a little bit longer and then they pop. Sadly, none of them last forever, but with our thoughts, that's what we can do. We can hold on to those thoughts. And often we do it with the ones that don't serve us, that bring us down, that make us feel not good or create negative emotions for us. And we hold on to them. And the thoughts that create the happiness, the joy, the fulfillment are the ones that we let go of very quickly. And this is what I mean by living unconsciously. It's about not having an awareness of what we're actually doing. So by tuning into ourselves, checking in with how we're thinking, what are we focusing on? What are we holding on to? What thought did we have about that situation? Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Is it a story or is it a fact? So thoughts are a great place to start from. Start to check in with the thoughts that you have. Start with yourself. How do you talk to yourself? Do you talk to yourself with compassion and kindness, or do you beat yourself up? I can assure you, based on my experience of people that I speak to day in and day out, that we will lean towards beating ourselves up, criticizing, judging ourselves more than anybody else would. The way that we are towards ourselves is often a way that we would never dream of speaking, communicating to a young child, because it is so harsh. So again, an example of self-awareness. Check in with yourself. How do you communicate with yourself? What do you say to yourself about your life and where you are right now, and the things that you try that maybe don't work or don't go as you had hoped or you had planned for? Do you beat yourself up? Do you criticize? Do you judge? Are you really harsh on yourself? Remember, that's a choice. So once you bring that into your awareness, now you get to choose differently. And you can say, well, actually, let me choose to be kind and compassionate towards myself and come from a place of love. In the same way that you would for your own child, when you encourage them and you talk to them kindly and compassionately and with love. How about you do that for yourself? So this is one example. As I said, all of this fits under the umbrella of self-awareness. And a great exercise to do is to start checking in with yourself. When that thing didn't go as planned, what did I say to myself? So what else can you do? Remember that your thoughts are creating your reality. So the thought that you have about a situation, about a person, about a scenario, let's say at work, right? Maybe your boss says something to you and you start to take it personally, you get upset. Maybe he criticizes a piece of work that you've done, or she says something to you that makes you feel like you're not good enough, or it knocks your confidence. So whatever they do or say, it has a negative impact on you. So then your thoughts run away with you and you start to perhaps have really negative thoughts about that individual. Is that helping you, or is that making you feel worse? Is that adding to the story? What you want to be doing there is stripping back all the assumptions, the presumptions, the stories that we create, often based on our own beliefs, our past experiences, and just slow down. Okay, so somebody has said something to me, right? That's the fact. They said something to me. What I choose to do with that statement, conversation, sentence, is the thoughts now that I'm creating around that. So what thoughts do I choose to create about that? Oh, that they hate me, they're picking on me, they're trying to undermine me. They're all assumptions. What's the truth? The truth is they might just be having a bad day and you caught them at a bad time. Now, it's not to say that there's any excuse for that behavior, but if we come at something from a place of compassion and understanding rather than criticism and judgment, do we get to have a better experience? Are we less likely to take something personally? Does that make us feel better? Do we perform better because of that? Because if we get a criticism and we take it really badly, does that affect your performance? And this is what I mean by thinking, okay, is it going to serve me to think this way about this situation? Because no matter what, they're simply thoughts that we're having. And we get to change those thoughts in a split second. And we can feel completely different about the situation as a consequence. So if you go back to the example of your boss, he or she may be criticizing you or saying something that makes you feel like you're no good at your job, you're not good enough, or whatever the feeling is that comes up for you, slow down to that and think, okay, what thoughts have I created around what they've said that's now making me feel that way? How can I look at this differently? Maybe it's because what I did wasn't up to my usual standard, or perhaps they're having a bad day, or they're dealing with something in their own life that's having them speak in that way, and they wouldn't normally do that. can we come from that place of understanding and compassion? And by doing so, how do we feel then? So I hope this is making sense. Any questions on this, do please ask. As I said, this topic today is quite deep. It's probably things that you want to make notes on, go away, maybe watch it again, and really sit with it to understand this at a deeper level. This is the kind of work that we really go deep on when I'm working with my clients. Because ultimately, as I said, we can have the strategies and the to-dos, but what's ultimately going on in here is what is really going to impact the experiences and the results that we have in our life. So the question there is, ultimately, how can you look at things differently in a way that will serve you better rather than hinder you and hold you back? The next thing is a neural pathway. So our new neural pathways are trained in a way that have us doing certain things in a certain way over and over again, often getting the same result. But what happens is, for example, we as human beings tend to look for the negative in a situation, the worst case, or criticizing ourselves. And often we forget to see the good things. And this is where gratitude comes in. It's a really powerful practice to express gratitude, because when we do, we start to retrain our neural pathways to focus on the good things, the things that we have around us that we are grateful for. And we're retraining our brain to go and focus more on the good things, the things that we already have, rather than focusing on all that we don't have or what's not working or not being where we are right now. It's focusing on what do we have? And that's an example of how you can retrain your neural pathways. It's about expressing gratitude. So what are the things that you are doing that aren't serving you? For example, focusing on all the bad things or the what went wrong. And it's not to say you shouldn't look at that and look at what you've learned from it, but actually, have you even considered what went well? What are your wins? Do you look at your wins each day or each week and reflect and I think, yeah, that went really well for me. That project I was working on or that conversation I had went really well. And I pat myself on the back for that. I celebrate it. Or do you only focus on all the things that went wrong? Again, natural human behavior. But we can retrain ourselves. We can retrain our neural pathways to look at things in a more positive light. And this relates to a lot of our habits as well. So if you check in with the kind of habits that you have that really don't help you, but you keep doing them, is slowing down. So, okay, what is it that's making me do something over and over with? I know it's not good for me. And how can I slow down to this? And think, okay, if I was to change something in my habits, my routines, my behaviors, what would the outcome be then? What would be different? Would that be better for me, healthier for me, more purposeful? So again, giving thoughts to all of these things. Then we have the decisions that we make. The decisions that you've made over the course of your life have brought you to where you are today. And where we feel sometimes that we're not making a decision, you're still making a decision to not make that decision. For example, I have a client that I worked with a couple of years ago who was in a really bad place in his career. He was in a job he'd been in for a very, very long time. I'm talking years and years. Very dissatisfied, very stressed, very unhappy. It was impacting his health, his mental health, his physical health, his relationships, his finances, everything, right? He was not in a good place. And the decision he was making, as hard as it is to hear that, he was still making a decision to choose to stay there when he could have made a decision to start looking elsewhere. So everything we do, is a choice that we make, a decision. And understanding that where you are today is based on the choices that you have made in the past and the decisions that you've made, it's now slowing down to that and thinking, okay, what can I do differently going forward? What choices can I make going forward that will create the change that I want to experience in my life? For example, am I going to decide to just stay put and wait for my company to pay me off, even though I'm really dissatisfied where I am, I'm not growing. I don't feel fulfilled. It's stressing me. I'm suffering with burnout, and so forth and so forth. It might be a toxic environment. There could be a number of things, a number of factors affecting you, right? And you choose to stay and wait for somebody else to make the decision for you. Is that helping you, or is that holding you back? Is it easier then that way to blame your situation on others rather than taking responsibility for your situation and seeing what you can do differently to create the change that you do want, whether it's having a conversation with somebody, whether it's making a decision to go look elsewhere, whatever that might be for you. So remember, everything is a choice. Self-belief. So having confidence in you from day one, with day one being today. I invite you to look at creating your life that you want from your future rather than from your past, because what we often tend to do is allow our past to define us, and we draw upon our past experiences or the beliefs that we have or the stories that we create, which actually aren't true. They're stories. Remember, assumptions, presumptions, opinions, judgment of something that's occurred in the past. And then we hold on to that, and that influences the decisions that we make in the future. And it often influences our levels of belief in ourselves and our confidence. So for example, it may be that you've put yourself forward for a promotion or for a new job multiple times and you've been rejected. So now you decide, well, actually, I've lost my confidence in myself and my abilities, and I'm just going to stay put. Or can I choose to let go of, okay, this happened in the past. What can I learn from it? What can I do differently to keep showing up and keep putting myself forward, knowing that the right opportunity will come along and I will be successful? We can choose to start from today's day one, and I'm going to put my foot forward with that confidence in myself, have that belief that, you know, anything is possible for you if you want it enough, and if you put the work in and you build up your brand, your reputation, the way that you're showing up, work on your mindset, all of these things I talk about to help you position yourself in a good place to create what it is you want. So coming again from self-belief, what is impeding on your self-belief? What is impeding on your confidence? Is it past experiences? Is it beliefs that you've had about situations that have occurred for you, or feeling that maybe you're not good enough, or you're not smart enough, or that no one's going to hire me because? That's a belief. It's a generalization. It's not a fact. You're creating it into your truth, because when you believe that, guess what happens? It becomes your reality. So you want to slow down to that. What is it that's impeding on your confidence and your self-belief if it's not at 100%? And what can you do to take it up to the 100%? Think also about the way that you show up and the experiences you have day to day are often a reflection of you. The place that you're coming from, remember I talked about where we're coming from, our inner stance, our intentions will reflect back on us. So if we're doing things with good intention, if we're coming from a good place when it comes to our inner stance, from a place of love, compassion, kindness, joy, humility, all of those things, will you have a better experience than if you're coming from a place of frustration, resentment, anger? Possibly, maybe. So these are all things to consider. And then finally, the last point I want to share with you is about equilibrium. So looking to create balance in your life. And this isn't about a work-life balance, because I don't believe in such a thing. Work is part of your life. So it's about creating a life of balance. And a starting point for that is to identify your happy place and look to come from that place on a day-to-day basis. So live into it. I'll give you an example of mine. My happy place is being able to sit on a warm, sunny beach with my eyes closed, just listening to the waves and feeling the sun on my skin and being very, very relaxed, calm, grounded, chilled, whatever. And that's my happy place. That's my go-to place. And then I think about, how does that make me feel? And even now, just talking about it has just created a bit of a shift in me and how I'm feeling. Very relaxed, content, happy, grateful. And if you can choose to live from that place on a daily basis, your life will start to evolve. It will start to improve. It will start to change. So identifying what's your happy place, closing your eyes and really living into that, and choosing then to show up from that place on a regular basis. And here's the thing, right? All of this takes work. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. This is not an overnight phenomenon that you go away, you implement everything I have to share today and life will be amazing. It takes the effort, the work. And I'm sharing with you some of the things you can do, which are working on you rather than trying to fix things that are outside of your control, that will start to immediately create a new experience for you, a new reality, a new lens of the world. I hope this has made sense for you. Any questions you've had on what I've shared today, please do pop them in the comments. Reach out to me if you'd like to discuss them. As a quick recap, topic of today is to choose mindset psychology, because it's a choice. And the question is, what choice are you making when it comes to how you show up in the world? What is your inner stance? What place are you coming from? And I shared with you 7 or 8 things that you can think about, you can consider, you can integrate into your day-to-day life that will start to create shifts in your psychology, in your mindset, in your attitude, in the way that you show up, which will directly influence your results, your outcomes, your experiences, and your reality. Again, any questions, give me a shout. I hope this has been helpful for you today. Until next time, I want you to remember to elevate your performance, maximize your potential, and create new possibilities by showing up as the best version of you. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already done so. And if you enjoyed and gained value from today's episode, then do please leave a review telling us your key learnings and what you enjoyed the most. And do please share this podcast with your friends and colleagues so we can spread the word on life leadership, creating a life of choice, freedom, and new possibilities. Connect with me directly on LinkedIn, and if you would like to learn more about how we can work together, either DM me on LinkedIn or email me. All details and resources can be found in the show notes.